You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, you'll meet a woman who could find the humor in having a brain tumor. No, really. And if you're not disabled, you could be considered as such soon if the Supreme Court rules on a workplace lawsuit the way some people think they will. Manny the movie guy joins us to talk race, and our travel guy is attempting to make contact from a faraway destination. With me today is the voice behind Gonzo.fm, storied radio DJ, live from Las Vegas, Gonzo, Greg Spillane.
Storied. Thank you, Phil. Hey, coming up, I'll tell you why you might want to start deleting all those naked pictures off your iPhone.
If you listen to this show on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show when you do that, because the folks over at iTunes, when they're not downloading your naked photos, they're reading your comments and noticing your five-star reviews. It helps us out a great deal. Thank you. Let's get started. Gonzo.
Yes, sir.
What you talking about? What do I have to do with my phone?
Well, see, you know, everybody's heard about the federal judge that wants Apple to unlock the iPhone of the San Bernardino shooters. Last fall, remember
of
that?
So, sure, yeah.
So, and I don't know about your friends on the Facebook and their comment. Most of what everybody I've seen is like, well, yeah, you should totally open up the iPhone. You know, it's justice, right? And that's, I think, a lot of people's natural reaction.
Yeah, well, there's always the concern that there's some kind of precedent that would open just law-abiding citizens to an invasion of privacy, right?
Well, exactly. And that was Apple's initial response that I think a lot of people took offense to. It's like, well, yeah, but, you know, for the sake of bringing these people to justice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what's interesting is I did some research, Phil.
You did research?
That's what I do.
Didn't you drop out of high school?
I did. I've been drinking and researching things since then. But here's the interesting thing is, you know, Apple initially said, well, we can't do that because that would expose everybody's phone. And they're like, you know, and everybody seems to think, no, that's not the case. But actually what they would have to do is actually rewrite the entire operating system to do that.
Really?
So everybody's phone would then be prone to being opened up by the government.
Yeah.
And given what the government has done in the past, remember, what was it, last year or a couple of years ago when we found out that they were listening to everybody's phone calls?
Yes, the NSA.
Right. Do we want that?
No.
I don't think so. And that's what's coming down. This is probably going to end up in the Supreme Court. It's all coming down to a 227-year-old law, which is the All Writs Act. So originally written like 1789, when cell phones were big and powered by coal, I think. I'm either going through a tunnel or I need to put more coal in my phone.
So Zebediah Allwrits was the guy that wrote this?
Yes. Well, the Allwrits law says that if there's a subpoena and the government says you got to do this, you got to do this unless it's essentially a big pain in the ass. That's not exactly the legal terminology. Oh, if it's unduly burdensome. So Apple says engineering a whole new version of the operating system for the phone for this one thing would be unduly burdensome. Yeah. Is one of the angles they're going to use. They're also going to talk about free speech and protected speech and privacy and so on and so forth.
Remember back in the day when we used to say unduly burdensome?
Right. Now we say huge pain in the ass.
Yeah. Apple it sucks.
Is saying, yeah, this sucks. It's a huge pain in the ass. And and also it would suck for everybody, because then that would be giving the government the keys to every iPhone in the world.
And you know they want to get into every iPhone.
They have been trying for years. And yes, all the other tech companies, not surprisingly, are lining up behind Apple in support. I think yesterday Facebook and Twitter came out and said, look, yeah, you can't, you know, we have a right to privacy if we are law-abiding citizens.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's undue search and seizure, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
And not to mention, you know, how Washington thinks. I mean, it's a big net. But at some point, you, Greg, might become so popular in your neighborhood that you might decide to run for a congressional seat or run
for... Oh, sure, yeah.
know, run for a Senate or something like that. Yeah, it is possible in the circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, if Donald Trump can run for president, then Gonzo Gray could run for Congress. and so if that information was captured with that wide net, at some point your opponent could tap into whoever it is on his team that can help him get to the information and say, you know, do you really, for the safety of the children, do you really want a guy who sent these photos to various women back in 2017?
Since I post them on the internet. That way, they're out there. My theory is we just all need to see each other naked just to get it over with.
Equal the playing field.
Right. It would no longer be a problem. I'm like, hey, Phil, how's your wiener? Right? How's your wiener today?
I don't know.
I haven't seen it lately. Everything good? Last time I saw it, it looked fine.
This whole conversation is starting to, by the time we're done with the show, I might very well be an atheist.
Yeah, and I will have set up philswiener.com.
Yes, because God is clearly dead, isn't he?
God is dead, by the way. If you've not heard the news, hi, this is God, and I'm dead. No, God's fine. The guy that spoke for God on Twitter is no longer tweeting at the tweet of God. Did you
oh,
follow?
Oh, I follow, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Is that gone? That's one of the best Twitter accounts ever.
He has stopped tweeting. I hope text from dog is still tweeting, because that was my favorite for the dyslexics here. David Yaverbaum, I think. Jaberbaum?
Jaberbaum?
Jaberbaum is the guy. He used to work on The Daily Show. He was a writer and producer on The Daily Show.
Oh, okay. So he's probably got something even better coming.
Well, yeah, a while ago he started the Tweet of God on Twitter and used to post, you know, comical things that God was saying, you know, like sorry about Kanye or I don't know. Everybody makes a mistake once in a while.
Yeah.
He said, to quote, it's been taking up too much of my time and energy and mental agility to be God. So he has stopped tweeting.
Remember mental agility?
Yeah, never had it.
Yeah.
Never will.
You mentioned Kanye, Greg.
And I apologize.
Right. But it reminds me that here's another reason why we should start believing that God is, in fact, dead. Remember when Kim Kardashian released that stupid mobile game, Kim Kardashian Hollywood, back in a couple of years ago, and we all laughed? Who's going to download this game? Apparently, we thought it was a joke, right?
A couple people did, I think.
Yeah, the joke is on us. Kim is raking it in off are your children, they're not gullible, but mine, no, mine aren't gullible, but there apparently are enough out there. 5/4 of all of the children out there, do that math, 5/4 of them. The game has earned $100 million. It's been downloaded 42 million times.
Wow.
And Kim reportedly, after all the app developers and the hosters and all those people, Kim reportedly gets 53% of that profit, which means with this game alone, she could easily wipe out Kanye's $53 million debt.
Yes, his huge debt that he has, that Kanye has, the most talented artist in the history of anything and for the next 1,000 years or whatever he said the other day.
Can we get him on the show?
We just to discuss the level of douchebaggery. I mean, I think he has raised the bar to such a point that nobody will be able to be that douchey, right? Are you born that way, or does that develop?
It's communicable.
It's nature or nurture. Is it genetic, or is that something you learn from your environment? Like if Kanye had a twin and they were separated and raised in different environments, would one be, you know, totally douchey Kanye, and the other one would be maybe a nice, kind, reasonable person?
I think he caught it. It's evolved in his system. Just imagine you're around the whole Kardashian scene for 5 years.
Yeah, but he was an asshat before the Kardashians, though. I mean, seriously. Right?
Yes.
Okay, then. All right, well, I guess we settled that, then.
Yes, we have. It's done.
All right,
so we don't have to have Kanye on the show.
That's enough Kanye talk for, I think, the rest of our lifetime.
Yeah. All right. Up next, why Gonzo Gregg is so upset with Facebook here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Someone created an online petition demanding that Ryan Reynolds host Saturday Night Live as Deadpool in character for the entire episode.
I am going to sign that petition.
It says, quote, "How would this not be hilarious having Deadpool in sketches, breaking the fourth wall and inserting some of his brand of humor, obviously toned down for a bit for TV. And let's see, how awesome would it be to have some Deadpool interpretive dancing while the musical guest was playing?
Absolutely, yes.
Unlimited possibilities.
And if they get enough signatures, doesn't the White House have to answer to this?
Yes, they do.
Is that how that works?
Right.
Okay.
And the president has to go out to the Rose Garden and have a press conference.
Press conference about Deadpool.
At last check, it said about 50,000 signatures. And I don't, they need 100,000 to get the president to respond, right?
All right. And yeah, then I'm totally signing that, I guess.
Okay. Good.
Just to be a jerk.
Yeah. All right. Now, do you spend a fair amount of time on Facebook?
No, I hate Facebook. I loathe Facebook. I think Facebook is the pimple on the butt of the internet.
Really?
I do. I really dislike
but
Facebook.
But you're missing out on a great tool to market yourself to
a large
number of people.
Yes, I know.
But and the thing is, you have to put up with all the changes. They're constantly tweaking it, and then you get lost for a couple of weeks until, okay, fine, I'll do it that way.
I don't know. Have you been on LinkedIn lately?
Oh.
They change that every 4 minutes. But,
yeah, true.
I loathe Facebook, and it mainly because I get on there, and everybody says something, you know, stupid, and then I get upset. So I tend to avoid it. I liked it. I used to like it back when it was mainly pictures of what people were having for lunch. I enjoyed it more then.
You used to like it when it was only open to college kids, and you made a fake profile.
Right.
So you went to University of Phoenix in Las Vegas, and you got in somehow.
I got on there right after it went from just being in school to they opened it up to everybody. And I got on there because, like you said, I had to market myself, and that's the only reason I was on there.
Yeah.
But then they have continually done things to make me angry, and especially on the phone.
Like what?
When they broke out to get messages through Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook Messenger.
You had to have Messenger then. It wasn't part of Facebook. You had to load a whole nother app onto your phone. And I have refused to do that. And part of the reason is it drives me crazy when people go, hey, why weren't you at the thing this weekend that we had? Everybody was there. I'm like, what thing? I never heard about it. Yeah. Like, well, I posted it on Facebook. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah.
That's how you find out? Wouldn't you maybe send an email?
Yeah, I know it.
Or maybe call me a text, call me something?
Oh,
no.
I miss all kinds of important things because people invite over Facebook.
Facebook, yeah, and they think you're a jerk because you didn't go because you didn't see their dumb thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
Anyway, regarding Messenger now, they're going to improve Messenger. Have you been using it? Is it separate on Android too?
Yes, it is. And it's got a bunch of weird, fun new features, things that you can add in a hurry. And I guess they're trying to compete with some of the other apps that are out there, like Snapchat, you know, add fun to text messaging.
Uh-huh. Wee! Well, the thing that I don't think they're really talking about the new fun features of Messenger is that it will soon now have ads. So there'll be ads in your Messenger, I guess.
And you know how those ads make money? Off of your lack of dexterity.
Yes.
When you try to poke at something and you inadvertently poke the ad, and now you have a web page open and it's telling you to buy something that you don't need.
Your fat thumb has clicked on an ad, and then now that business will have free reign to send you messages and deals and coupons and what have you. I hate Facebook.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, fine. You want to know what the favorite places are Americans love to have sex?
Well, yeah. I'm so glad you brought this up, Phil.
I'm actually going to tell you and not go on a break.
I was thinking, usually, when I ask
a question like that, it's time for a break.
Well, I was going to say, it's this weekend. Weekend's coming up. Yeah, where am I going to have sex this weekend?
Yeah, public bathroom? I don't know. Never done that.
Wait, hold on. That's on the list?
Yeah, well, here's the list. New survey.
Public bathroom.
Ask people to name their favorite places. Not just places they've fantasized, but their favorite places to have sex. If they were to choose.
Choose where they were going. This is not like this one time we did it in the church parking lot.
No, it's like,
favorite places.
Hey, honey, the next time we do it.
Let's go
here.
Okay. All right.
So number 10.
Fancy hotel.
At your parents' house. Number 9. On a plane.
Favorite places.
Favorite. Yeah.
Favorite.
On a plane.
On a plane.
Yeah. I don't know. In the
Mile High Club.
In the baggage hold where they keep the dogs. I don't know. At the bathroom at work. Or in the bathroom.
At
work. Yeah. The work bathroom. What?
This isn't like just a bucket list of places you want to try.
This is favorite places.
I think they mislabeled this survey. Where was this published? Who put this out?
Oh, I'll tell you.
I demand responsibility.
Female First, and everything they say is accurate there.
Oh, okay.
Femalefirst.com. At the gym.
The gym?
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you have like a private sauna or what do you go into? Do they have private rooms? The broom closet.
I don't know. Last time I went to the gym, I was drunk out of my mind on the treadmill.
Yeah.
That wasn't water in that water bottle.
I wish they were running video. All right. Now, here's something more traditional. In the back seat of a car.
Favorite, though.
Favorite. Yeah, it's like all cramped and stuff. Depending on what kind of car you drive. If you've got a big SUV, all right. You've got plenty of room. At the movies.
Well, I've done it at the movies, but I wouldn't call it a favorite. It was cool.
Yeah, and you didn't get caught.
Well, it was at Rocky Horror, so, I mean, that doesn't really count. But
you didn't do the thing with the popcorn and the hole in the bottom.
You don't need to do that at Rocky Horror. It's pretty widely accepted that anything's going to happen.
All right. Number 4, in a public place. Just a blanket, in a public place. Favorite.
Favorite, yeah. Okay, what else you got?
This one I don't understand. Mm. It must be the kids these days, the way they're doing it. On the dance floor at a club.
Favorite place. Wait, that's number 4? That's number 3?
Yes.
Favorite place to... Okay.
Now, remember right. that Sesame Street song, One of These Things Is Not Like
it's
the Others?
Yes.
Yeah. The next two are those that don't fit on this list. Number 2 is a hotel room.
Oh, okay.
And number 1 is in the bedroom.
Well, the number 2 and number 1 make sense in terms of favorite.
But they're not like the others.
Otherwise, weird is fine. I mean, I used to date a chick that worked at a mortuary.
Amongst the cadavers?
Yeah, well, she was, her slogan was dead people are cool.
Was there one nearby?
Might have been
a cadaver nearby.
Wasn't bothering him. He didn't seem to care.
It
was a comfy
live
place to lay down.
Live skin to dead skin contact.
No, nothing like that. No. We used one of the boxes, the available boxes for the opportunity.
Oh, in a box. Did you get inside the box?
Yeah. Wow. Well, wouldn't you if you had that opportunity?
Was it pine or some more expensive?
It was a classy. Yeah, it was a pretty classy.
Was it a Kiss casket? No.
No, it was not.
That would have been cool.
But see, I wouldn't put that on my favorites list. I'm saying that was an interesting place to go for it, but I wouldn't put it like I want to do that all the time.
Now, how many times during the course of that session in the box did the thought walk through your mind for a moment, stroll through your mind that this is just a little past wrong?
Well, yeah, that was the whole idea of doing it in the first place.
Yes, but did you at any moment say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't?
Nope, not for a second.
Never happened.
That's just me.
Yeah?
How about you, Phil? You must have had something wacky somewhere.
Not anything close to what you're talking about.
Well, damn. I'm hoping you'd be able to top that. called you out, and I get nothing back.
No.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah. I've got nothing. See, okay. And you have the benefit of I once dated a gal that worked at a mortuary.
Well,
I've more or less been together with the same gal since the 1970s.
Okay.
And so anything I say is going to incriminate her.
And I
wouldn't do that.
You should show up.
Where does
work.
She work?
Well, yeah, where does she
work?
She
works at home where we can go upstairs to the bedroom. All Number right. one on the list. Favorite place.
It's Vanilla Phil, everybody.
Yeah.
Wasn't that your radio name back in the day?
Yes.
Give it up next. More right. with Vanilla Phil and all your rock hits.
All right. Here's something wholesome as a palate cleanser.
Oh, okay.
A woman in Detroit named Evelyn Overton found a recipe for cheesecake in the newspaper back in the 1940s. Cheesecake.
Oh, Evelyn.
Cheesecake. I don't want to know what you and some former girlfriend did with cheesecake.
Oh, you know about that?
Anyway, she started selling the cheesecakes at a bakery in Los Angeles, which her son then turned into the first location of the famous restaurant Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Look what he's done.
Look what you've done to my beautiful cheesecake. My
Damn
recipe.
You,
it's been bastardized.
It's now. It was a simple cheesecake, and now it's $60.
And Greg wants to have sex with it.
Well, sure. Say that like something wrong with it.
Manny the movie guy. You know who that is.
Yeah.
He plays the race card.
What?
Next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You know, Daniel Radcliffe had a stunt double for the Harry Potter movies. The guy's name is David Holmes.
This is such an action film.
Yeah.
You know, Harry Potter.
Well, he had to
know.
Fly around on those sticks.
Right.
Right?
Well, that's real.
During some tests for some stunts that they considered for the seventh Harry Potter movie, David suffered a serious spine injury. He's in a wheelchair to this day.
Really?
So it is an action-packed movie.
Wow.
That requires stunt doubles.
Didn't know that. That's awful.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's movie news. We're going to have some more movie news later. But right now, it's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us now is the reason the internet was invented. Now people all over the world camp out at his website waiting for the next celebrity interview. It's KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right. They should name the internet after me.
The Manny-net.
Or Manette.
The Manette. I like that. I do
Thank
like
you.
That. So we'll talk about the website a little bit more, MannyTheMovieGuy.com, in just a bit. But we want to find out what's coming out in the movies this weekend. And let's start with a little scary flick, The Witch. I haven't seen or heard anything about this.
No, you know what? This was a Sundance darling last year in 2015. And supposedly A24 Films bought this really, I mean, this movie was made for $1 million. Bought this really cheap. They were supposed to release it in October. They waited to release it in February, and either or, whether it was released last October or whether it's being released now, it is still an amazing, gripping movie. And of course, witchcraft, black magic, and demonic possession are all explored in the Sundance winner from brilliant first-time director Robert Eggers. Now, word to the wise, though, it's got a slow-building plot, meaning, you know, that's the code word for slow. It's a little slow in places, but it tells a tale of an English farmer and his family in the New England wilderness circa 1630. They relocate to a remote plot of land to find their piece of the Puritan dream, but nightmares soon follow. Now, director Eggers painstakingly recreates the 17th century from the costume down to the dialogue. That's another code for sometimes you won't get what they're saying because they're, you know, brethren and these and thou abound. But he's a master of atmosphere and mood, and this one is like a deranged Grimm's fairy tale. If you like full exposition, some plot points are left unexplained, but actually it's a good thing. So don't worry, the film will still get under your skin. This goes way beyond Hocus Pocus.
So they made it for $1 million, and 100,000 people see it, they're going to be swimming in profits.
Right? Well, we're in the wrong business, Phil.
I guess so. I can make a movie for less than $1 million.
Right?
I could just use my phone and make a movie. I've got some ideas. I'm going to start writing scripts.
There you go. Yeah, you can use your phone. You know, everyone's been doing that now.
Yes.
Yeah, use your iPhone, your brand new iPhone 4.
Why not? Except I'm an Android guy.
Oh, you're an Android. Ooh, one of those.
Yeah. One of the majority, I might point out. Now, there's another movie coming out, and this one looks interesting from a historical standpoint. It's called Race. Tell me about that.
That's right. It covers the unforgettable true story of Olympic icon Jesse Owens. Stephan James perfectly embodies Owens. He researched and trained meticulously. When I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, he told me that now, if asked to run, he probably could run like Jesse Owens. That's how great he is. Now, this is not a cradle-to-grave biopic. This takes us to that one memorable moment during the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. Owens is set to become the greatest track and field athlete in history while facing off Adolf Hitler's abhorrent view on Aryan supremacy. Now, helping Owens achieve his goal is coach Larry Snyder, played with conviction by Jason Sudeikis. We normally see the actor in comedies, but he's also good in this dramatic role. And you know, when I asked him about that, you know, was that a conscious decision? He said, well, you know, it's all about moments, you know, because I told him, it's so funny, by the way, a little trivia. It's cute. The last time I interviewed Jason Sudeikis was for Hall Pass. That was a while back.
Yeah.
I didn't interview him for Horrible Bosses or Where the Millers. But he told me, he's like, and if you go to facebook.com/Manny the Movie Guy, you will see my little clip that I posted in there because it's so cute. He's like, wow, I remember you. He said, you must be memorable then because Hall Pass was, you know, a while back. And then I, you know, when we're saying our names, you could see him trying to kind of remember. He'd say, oh, yeah, I remember. Manny De La Rosa. I'm like, oh.
Look at that. And you know what? Sudeikis is doing the right thing. He's got to get his drama chops under his belt because you can't do comedy movies forever. You get pigeonholed as that guy. And so you got to branch out like Tom Hanks did.
Well, and you know, comedians really have a 5-year lifespan.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've heard you say that before. So he's wise to do this. And you say he pulls it off well.
He pulls it off really well. Now, this one is from director Stephen Hopkins, who, believe it or not, gave us films like A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, Dream Warriors, and Predator 2, among others. You know, the guy is an entertainer, but this time he's going deep. Race is an entertaining crowd pleaser that will leave you wanting more. So let me tell you, Race, to see this movie.
Good. Thank you. I got that one. That was a good one. Let me ask you this, Manny. Is Sony trying to get in on the success of the growing Christian film category?
You know what, though? You're right. You're talking about the movie Risen, but every year Sony or Regency Pictures or TriStar Pictures, you know, all these other studio outlets under Sony have been releasing quite a slew of religious movies.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So, you know, who can blame them? I mean, they're like The Witch, made for $1 million maybe or lesser, but it'll make more money later on at the box office and on DVD and Blu-ray.
Mm.
And that's what they're trying to do with Risen as well. Now, this is a religious movie about the first 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, this one's told through the eyes of a non-believer named Clavius, played by Joseph Fiennes. He's a Roman centurion assigned by Pontius Pilate to investigate rumors of the resurrection. Like a Romanesque X-Files, Clavius just wants to believe, and as his investigation deepens, he may do just that. Now, to be honest with you, when I first saw the credits on Risen, I was like, uh-oh, It's from director Kevin Reynolds. He's the guy who gave us Waterworld.
Oh.
But have no, I know. But have no fear. He created an action thriller with a supernatural twist on the resurrection, and it actually worked, thanks largely to Fiennes and his quiet performance and the Maori-born actor Cliff Curtis as Yeshua, a.k.a. Jesus. The technical aspects of the film, from the production design to cinematography, are good. You may enjoy this film regardless of your religion, yet the way the story is told is not the greatest. But you may still enjoy this, and I recommend to enjoy this film probably on a leisurely afternoon matinee.
Did you just say the greatest story ever told is not the greatest story?
Well, yet the way the story is told is not the greatest. It's just a play on words.
I got you. Yeah, that was very good. And Sony may have missed an opportunity to have a very special guest on the red carpet premiere of Risen. Did they invite the Pope for that?
They should have, right?
Yeah.
But the Pope is too busy. He's not going to go to any red carpet movie.
Yeah. Imagine all that.
Maybe for Superman Batman he would.
Oh. Now you're talking. MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Visit the website. And what do you have a latest interview on there? Is it with Sudeikis?
Right, yeah, my latest interview is with the race cast. Jason Sudeikis, Stefan James, and the director, Stephen Hopkins. They're all right there.
Oh, you didn't get Jeremy Irons or William Hurt, huh?
No, I did. Well, you know, they're fancy. They're very special.
So are you, Manny. We'll talk to you again next week.
You.
Enjoy your weekend at the movies.
Yes, next week, by the way, get ready. It's all about the Oscars, so I'm doing my prediction again, and this time, gosh, I'll be much, much better than the Golden Globe.
Oh, yeah. I expect you'll nail it. Thanks, Manny.
Thank you.
Yeah, he kind of tanked on the Golden Globes, but that was because of all the TV stuff. He doesn't follow TV.
Everybody always busts on Waterworld. Did you see Waterworld?
Yes.
I saw it in the movie theater, and I didn't think it was that awful. I thought it was okay. It wasn't as bad as everybody said. I don't know why a movie gets busted on so much.
Yeah, it's all right. And it keeps showing over and over again on demand, and people watch it. So it's making money.
Probably, yeah.
Not hand over fist, but maybe, you know, big toe over pinky.
I don't think that's going to catch on, Phil. But
no.
Swing and a miss, maybe.
Hashtag
nice
it.
Yeah, hashtag that. Yeah.
All right. Hey, how to get through life's toughest challenges with a very funny lady who battled cancer and won that battle, and I bet humor had something to do with it. Jan Marshall joins us live next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, this should be fun, informative, and all at once bizarre.
It better be, Phil.
Yes, because that's what we expect on this show. Joining us is the author of books like Dancing Schmancin' with the Scars, Finding the Humor No Matter What, and Still Hanging in There, Confessions of a Totaled Woman. She's a certified hypnotherapist, what do you think I was going to say? The founder of the International Human and Healing Institute, a cancer and brain tumor survivor, Jan Marshall. Hello. Wow.
Gee, I'm so impressed.
Well, I've done a little background checking on you, and these are the things I came up with. I hope I got most of it.
Most of it.
Yeah, the books, by the way, are available in the store right now at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go check them out. Now, Jan, you have quite a story, and I'll ask you about how you beat cancer, and we'll talk about the wonderful charities you are supporting with proceeds from your books. But let's find out a little more about you. You call yourself a seasoned citizen. Now, does that moniker still get you a discount at Denny's?
Of course. They think I'm spicy. but I'm also, you know, a grandma, a great-grandma.
Really?
In fact. But, you know, my children, they married at four and five.
Of course. That's why you're so young. Now, so how are you getting along at your age, where you look much younger than you are? How are you getting along with all the new technology we have these days?
Don't ask.
Well, it's too late. I did.
You did. Okay. Well, if these lips could talk, I would tell you about my issue with Siri. Siri is my secretary. She lives in my phone, and we're going for marital counseling. She just doesn't get me. We're just having major problems. No matter what I say, she doesn't understand. And most recently, she started to ask for a coffee break, and she wants 2 weeks off to go to Belize.
No
so
kidding.
I don't know.
All right, Siri. That's good. That's why I go Android.
I want her out of my phone, too. We don't get along either.
It's that two-timing.
Yes. She's a tramp. She's in everybody's phone.
Yeah.
Well, that's the part. I thought it was only me, and she's seeing other people. So
right. Well, maybe you should see other people. Jan, the Internet is a good place for meeting people. Have you ever tried one of those dating sites?
Oh, sure, I did. You know, you have to be very careful about what you say and who shows up. I asked for a tall, thin man, and a guy shows up on stilts. And, you know, we did, believe it or not, pretty good and started getting splinters in my thighs, and I broke it off.
Oh, yeah, splinters in your thighs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting harder and harder these days to find people who are accountable for their actions, isn't it?
Well, you see all the politicians denying and everything. No one takes responsibilities. The station, maybe even, says they're not responsible for anything you say. Or your guests say. Well, you know, I had a valet park my car, and when I received it back, there was no steering wheel.
Oh.
And it said not responsible for items left in the car.
You should have packed it in your purse. What were you thinking?
My purse is frankly.
Yeah. After all, Jan, what is age anyway? Birthdays stop mattering, in our 40s or our 50s? Which is it?
I think they should stop from the beginning. I have a new way of looking at it. I mean, there are infants, teenagers, seniors, you know, how about no numbers? Because we're using digital things anyway. I don't think anybody's going to know what a number is, except started talking about it as phases. Say from 1 to 40 is phase one, from 41 to 80 is phase two, from 81 to 120, you could call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Now, I happen to be in the same phase as children and Sophia Loren, so I feel pretty good.
Oh.
What phase are you in, Bill?
I'm in the dazed phase. That's where I am. Now, I want to ask you about this because you are a cancer survivor. I don't know what kind of cancer you had, but you also had a brain tumor. Did you have those concurrently?
Yeah. Concurrently, meaning one after the other. Actually, it took 10 years for one, the other to show up. But the not malignant. It was just, it was a brain tumor. That's what it was. And when the doctor took out the tumor, he also said he found a whoopee cushion. He couldn't retrieve that one.
No, of course not. See, now, this is the whole thing behind your book, Dancing Schmancing with the Scars, Finding Humor No Matter What. I just asked you about brain tumor, and most people would say, oh, Phil, that's a downer. Why are you even doing that on a happy variety talk show? But the fact is, you found a joke in the removal of a tumor from your skull, and is that what's keeping you happy and healthy and young today?
I think that is the secret, yeah. I wasn't always laughing. I cried a lot. I used to wish at calories I'd be a tall, thin blonde instead of a short, dumpy little brunette here.
Well.
But I'm on radio. I could say I'm a tall, thin blonde.
Sure you can. I could be a 12-foot Viking for all you know.
Why not? Yeah. I can show.
Tell me about the charities which benefit from the sales of your book.
Well, I do send books and a percentage of profits to the Wounded Warriors, American Cancer generally, and American Brain Tumor Association. And then also I live in a senior village here. It's senior.
Yeah.
You don't know the wildness that it's just incredible.
Oh, it's a party, huh?
Oh, I don't think we want to know.
It used to be Leisure World. It's now the woods.
Okay.
So I contribute. They have a foundation here that helps people. You know, a lot of people are living much longer than expected, and so they run out of money. So we help them, you know, pay their bills and get to the doctor and stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you have that little convenient Viagra kiosk there at the?
We do actually. Yeah, but it's a little dangerous because we have 7 women to 1 man. And that poor man, I'm telling you, he's exhausted. And, you know, at the pharmacy, which I believe is the best dating place, you know, you find somebody with the same ailment as you.
You can massage each other's sore parts.
I'm telling you, the thing is, the little gray hair looks like Q-tips running through the parking lot whenever they see a guy with a little blue. Becoming a problem.
And a little meat on his bones, so to speak. Yeah.
I fall a lot chasing these guys,
Be careful. You'll break a hip. You don't want to do that. Now, you have a website. It's authorjanmarshall.com. There are 2 L's in Marshall. And, again, the book is Dancing Schmanson with the Scars, Finding Humor No Matter What, and other good books. You've written about 5 books, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I've been in a lot of anthologies besides the 2 I've written, and then I have another one coming out next year called Stretch Marks, Needless Wisdom for Sexy Old Broads.
Yeah, oh, that's going to sell a ton.
Yeah.
Your charity must be thrilled.
I'll have to get to that charity, I think, the SOB. Charity.
All right. AuthorJanMarshall.com is the website. A pleasure speaking with you, and hope you come back again soon.
Well, I can be back in 10 minutes. I just wanted to know it's out on Amazon, and it's also an ebook for people.
Yeah. And I'll make it easy for you. It's in our store, and it's the same thing. I don't want to explain the technology to you right now because it will make your brain explode, but just the same. It's like going to Amazon if you come to our store.
Oh, I didn't know you had a store. That's great.
Yeah. At philhewlettandfriends.com. You'll go there, and we're going to add your website to our links page. It's all fancy stuff.
Thank you so much, Phil. Good luck. I love your show.
Yeah, oh, thank you, and we love you. Thanks for being on it.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. How'd you like her for a grandma?
It's Phil the Viking show, by the way. I think you need to... You are now Phil the Viking.
Oh, you like that metaphor?
Yeah, I think, yeah. You should really go with that.
Yeah?
All yeah.
All right. She didn't sound like a grandma for a minute, did she?
No.
Well, that's good. What did we learn from that? Did we learn something?
I learned that Leisure World has changed names. That's what I've learned. So.
And was it always one enormous wrinkly orgy?
I always kind of suspected it, so I was kind of glad to find out that actually is true. It's just a nonstop parade of Mr. Burns.
So may I ask another question?
Of me?
What just happened?
I don't know. It's your show, Viking Phil.
Yeah.
More coming up on the Viking Phil show.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I might go with that. We'll see. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. Believe me, the second hour is going to be even better. No, really, there's more to come, including...
I'm not buying it. Nope. Not for a second.
You're not buying it for a second?
Not for a second.
All right. Hey, you know what the ADA is, right? The Americans with Disabilities Act?
Yeah.
Oh, you know all about it. But you're not disabled, are you?
No, but I
the Supreme Court might see to it that you are under the definition. We're going to explore that a little bit. And also our travel guy. He's been lost for a couple of weeks, but he's surfaced. We know now where he is, and he's going to check in with us, and he tells us that he has a great destination if you're a baseball fan, or if you just like laughing at baseball fans. That and a whole lot more. Plus, I might put on my Viking helmet in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour: a Supreme Court ruling could have you parking in the blue parking space.
Woohoo!
Women, if you're looking for guys who are having a midlife crisis, I know where they are. Who's more crazy, Shia LaBeouf or Donald Trump? And imagine you passed out drunk and your friends tattooed this on your leg. Those stories and a whole lot more. We'll leave it to your imagination. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Gonzo, Greg Spillane is here with us. And Greg.
Hi, Phil.
We continue to watch with amazement how well Donald Trump is doing in the polls.
And I hate talking about him because you have to, right?
Yeah. Well, because a large chunk of America, at this point at least, believes that he'd make a good president.
But everybody I talk to just like thinks that's insane, right?
Well, yeah, but you live in your own familial bubble. Everybody's got the bubble that they live in, right?
Right, I guess. Yeah. But why don't we just set up a segment on the show that's just called Adventures in a Holery? and then we just go to Donald Trump. That's just, you know.
Well, what has he said now that's got you and all your friends upset?
I'm checking the a-hole meter right now, Phil, and it's off the charts. Apparently it's pegged at 11. During the debate last week, the really yelly one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't watch it. I just watched
the clips. You're right. It was yelly.
It was very yelly, right?
I think that's the political pundits use that term over and over again. It was yelly.
It's time for political punditry with a guy named Gonzo. But, yeah. Here's the thing. During that debate, he was in the middle of calling everybody else liars.
Yeah.
And he spouted off something. Of course, 9/11 always comes up because you invoke 9/11 when you're politicking.
Sure.
And he claimed that he lost hundreds of friends at the World Trade Center.
Gosh, hundreds of friends.
Hundreds of friends.
I think most people don't have dozens of friends.
How many friends total do you have?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your friend total?
Well, friends, not counting Facebook friends.
Facebook doesn't count because there's a number. A
couple dozen, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that you call friends. There's a number out there, and I forget what it's called, but there's a certain figure. It's an average figure, the number of friends that the average actual friends that people have.
Yeah, but Donald Trump's bigger than the average person.
Well, sure. Okay, so he lost hundreds of friends. So according to that math, Trump is trying to tell us that at least 1 in 10 of the 2,983 who died on 9/11
were his friends.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So did somebody run a fact check on that?
They've been looking into it. And if he in fact had hundreds of friends that perished on that day, Donald Trump goes out, people would see him, right? It's because he's bright orange like a traffic cone. So he stands out. Nobody's ever seen him at the Memorial and Museum place.
Yeah.
And no one, if he had hundreds of friends, nobody ever saw him at the seemingly endless funerals that happened after the attack.
Well, you know, here's how he's getting in trouble. Donald Trump consistently speaks in vague generalities or general vagaries. It's a little like me saying, I eat tons of cheese nips. Well, tons, 2,000 pounds plus of cheese nips? No, you don't eat tons of cheese nips. Okay,
sure.
Well, hundreds of friends, I don't know if it's the same comparison, but he does talk very vaguely and generally in almost every conversation, and that's just his style. And so,
but that's getting in him trouble because when you look at that, because especially if you're invoking 9/11 and you say something like that, people are going to get upset.
Well, in your circles, Greg, is Donald Trump crazy?
Oh yeah, and I mean we love it because it's fun.
But is he Shia LaBeouf crazy?
Oh, I don't know. I think Shia LaBeouf is more douchebag, I think. I think we've returned to this whole argument. Who's a bigger... Now there's three contestants on who's a bigger douchebag? Yeah. Is it Kanye? Is it Donald Trump? Or is it Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Shia LaBeouf is... Because he's less of an actor and more of a performance art guy now. Yeah. His latest thing, I think it's going on right now. He's in an elevator. And you go on the web... And there's a live stream, like a camera from his point of view. So you're in the elevator looking at the doors. And so he just stands there and he's riding the elevator for like a whole day. And the elevator opens and somebody gets in the elevator and you talk to Shia LaBeouf. I can't ever say his name right when I read it because if like, I read it, it's
just
Shia.
Talk like Inspector Clouseau. You just have to say, boof.
So,
please, monsieur, may I order some boof?
Shia LaBeouf. Is in an elevator, and you walk in, and apparently you talk to him about things.
Does he still have like that mountain man beard that he was sporting for a while?
I don't know, because it's not the cam isn't showing him. It just shows his point of view.
So
like somebody will walk in the elevator. Like an elevator isn't uncomfortable enough, right? And you walk in on Shia LaBeouf in there. And I'm like, I'm in an elevator with a crazy person. Yeah, yeah. And if it were me, I would go in and fart.
Maybe he's just having a midlife crisis, you know? How old a man is he? Is he in his 40s yet?
I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea. But
you know what? Not every 45-year-old man gets in an elevator and stays there. Not everyone gets hair plugs and a motorcycle and a Snapchat account. So
here's your toupee and your Corvette. Go crazy.
Not every man, but 99.9% of men do.
It's every man.
A website, estately.com, just released a list of cities where men are having midlife crises. They used five criteria: searching for hair loss treatments, Craigslist ads where men are seeking a younger woman, guys between 35 to 55 who talk about their new motorcycle on Facebook, the ratio of divorce lawyers to marriage counselors, and convertibles on sale. And based on those very scientific metrics...
I think that's perfect, actually.
We have the top 10 cities where men are having midlife crises.
All right.
Top 10 cities.
You have the list. I'm going to say like L.A.
L.A.'s on the list. I'm going to mark that one off.
All right. Miami.
Miami's on the list. You're doing well so far.
It's going to be more of those kind of cities rather than like Rust Belt.
Not necessarily.
Really? Like, okay, Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. You've been there. You know what Philly's like.
Right. Well, so New York then?
New York's on the list.
Okay.
Wow, you're doing well. 4 out of 10.
And Boise.
You went off the trail.
Okay, all right. What about any southern towns like Nashville?
There's one. Not that southern, but there's a big metropolitan that's considered southern.
All right, what's the biggest surprise on the list?
Minneapolis.
Okay,
To me it is. But also we have San Francisco, Phoenix, Dallas, and Atlanta. And Atlanta's considered south. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Chicago. I've left out Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Well, that's basically major metropolitan cities, though. So
in other words, everywhere.
Everywhere. I think that probably if you were to apply that metric,
list.
If you'd run Boise through that, the percentage would probably work out about
what they used for criteria was awesome, but it's ultimately a stupid list because it probably applies to every city.
Have you had your midlife crisis yet, Bill?
I don't know. I didn't buy a motorcycle or a thing, or I didn't. Right. I didn't have a mistress. I didn't have any of those.
Right?
Things.
Yeah, you're still going along. You have a pretty happy life, you jerk.
Yeah. No. Huh. My. Sure. One wife. One life. Right? It's wonderful.
Huh. All right.
As opposed to how many wives have you had now?
Let's not talk about it.
A Supreme Court ruling, Greg, later this year could have wide-reaching negative repercussions on discrimination in the workplace, as well as an expansion of the definition of disabled under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, here's the question. Is perception reality in discrimination? An attorney attempts to answer that question, and I want you just to ponder that question. Is perception reality in discrimination? When this attorney joins us, she'll review what could be a landmark case and discuss. It's a philosophical question that you should be concerned about because it affects you in ways that you don't know. But we'll explain next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. A case was argued before the U.S. Supreme Court, which raises a pretty serious question. Can a city government legally discriminate or retaliate against an employee based on a mistaken perception? We'll expand on that question here while you ponder it. Let's bring in our guest. Lisa DeOlghi is a labor and employment lawyer at the law firm Godwin PC in Dallas. Hi, Lisa. How did I do with the name? Did I botch it completely?
You got it right.
No, I got it right. Wow.
Ding.
I'm on a kind of a string here of getting
people's
names
correct.
You're
on the bonus round, Phil. Yeah. Nice job.
All right, Lisa, give us a quick backgrounder on Heffernan versus City of Paterson, New Jersey.
Sure. So this is a case that made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. It involves a police detective that got fired after somebody from his department spotted him carrying a campaign sign for somebody who was running against the police chief. So he was demoted and then, you know, fired because the police chief obviously was not a fan of the fact that he thought that the police detective was supporting his opponent. And so he filed the lawsuit, and he said that this was a violation of his First Amendment right to free speech, which, you know, public employees have. Public non-political employees have. And so that's the case that made it all the way to the Supreme Court.
All right, so he's leaning on the First Amendment, and was there some alternate explanation as for why he was seen with the sign?
Yes, so he picked up the sign to take it to his mom. He asked him to pick it up, and we literally just, you know, after work, stopped by somewhere, got the sign, took it to his mom, and somebody saw him do it.
That's not good karma to throw your mom under the bus like that.
It's an excuse that works a lot of times, right?
Yeah, right.
I was doing it for my mom.
So the argument here is, okay, First Amendment, I can do what I want, but it might be in his employee manual not to compete in any way with your organization. But and that would be typical in a corporate situation. I don't know how it is with a police city government deal.
Yeah, it's different for public and private employees. So in a private workplace, the employer can prohibit employees to engage in political speech and can regulate what they can and cannot say. But for public employees, if they're non-political type of employees, the government cannot regulate their free speech.
So now, right, but then the argument about discrimination based on a mistaken perception. It's not my sign, it's my mom's sign.
Right.
Now, that's what the Supreme Court is going to rule on. And talk to us about the implications if SCOTUS rules one way or the other.
Sure. The implications to me are very interesting because you have a prohibition, you know, that the government cannot discriminate against somebody for speaking out or for doing something that's within their rights. But in this case, he wasn't actually exercising his free speech. So it was a mistaken belief by the government that he was engaging in something that he wasn't actually doing. And it's an interesting question in employment discrimination context because there are cases popping up all around the country where people are saying, you know, I've been discriminated based on my race, gender, religion, but the person is not actually of that race, gender, or religion. So do they have a discrimination claim against their employer? And the courts are ruling, you know, differently in many jurisdictions. Some dismiss those cases outright, and they say, well, how can you argue that you were discriminated because you're Jewish when you're not Jewish?
So wait, so the government is buying that was my mom's sign argument? Is that the premise we're working off of? So we've established that that's the case?
Yes, yes. And I think the police detective, the position that they've actually taken in the low courts is that, no, he was not engaged in political speech.
All right.
It was simply the government thinking that he was engaged in political speech.
Right.
You know, the New Yorker actually published an article recently on this case, and they called it the absurd First Amendment.
Yeah. Now right. if the perception is the thing we're focusing on here, and if it's mistaken or not, depending on which way SCOTUS goes on this, this could alter definitions with EEOC, you know, equal employment, or maybe even with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Isn't that right?
Right. Right. And, you know, it is actually right now in the employment discrimination claims, the EEOC's position, so it's a government agency, it's not the court. The EEOC is saying that that employers cannot discriminate against people based on the perception of a certain, you know, protected category like race, gender, religion, and other categories. But the courts are not necessarily aligned with that view. And the statute doesn't say that you cannot discriminate against someone based on the perceived, based on your perception of them having a particular protected trait.
Yeah. What are some of these other situations then that an employer might discriminate based on mistaken perception? Pregnancy or what?
Yes, pregnancy is one of them. EEOC is saying if an employer believes that a woman is pregnant and they fire her for that reason, even if she's not pregnant, that's still considered gender discrimination. Under the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, it's actually written into the statute. So that statute specifically says you cannot fire someone based on your perception of them having a disability. So even if they're not disabled, but the employer thinks that they are, then, you know, that's a discrimination based on disability.
What's your sense of how the Supreme Court might rule on this?
I don't think that they're going to rule in favor of the detective just because of the fact and the fact that he admitted that he wasn't engaging in political speech. I just think the fact that it came up to the Supreme Court are not the best for ruling. They don't lend themselves to ruling in his favor. And Scalia, you know, he recently passed, and I listened to the Supreme Court arguments, and he was really hammering that point that, you know, look, he wasn't engaged in free speech or free association. He was just carrying a sign.
Yeah, it was his stupid mom. Where's mom in all this? You know, if you're on the Supreme Court, do you get a case like this and just go, really? Seriously? We have to deal with this?
Well, as far as Supreme Court cases go, this is one of the more interesting ones, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it involves First Amendment. Any case that involves First Amendment is, to me, is interesting.
Right. Okay. Well, good. And so, depending on how it goes, the definitions of disabilities could expand. The definition of race or gender or these sorts of things could expand to include people where you wouldn't necessarily think they would include, and then give them protections in the workplace that they didn't necessarily think they needed. Is that what we're saying?
Well, it's not necessarily the definition. I don't think the statutes are going to get amended, but the way the court will interpret the statute, I think it might open up this whole new slew of claims that people can bring.
Now, if somebody came to work and all of a sudden they started wearing black clothing and too much black makeup on their face and black hair, and they said, "Look, you can't discriminate me. I'm goth."
Goth discrimination is a big problem, by the way.
Right.
I have to say. Yeah.
But if the boss said, "Look, you got to start dressing professional to work," and no, I'm goth, right? And so, would depending on the ruling here, something like that, for instance, however ridiculous it sounds, could be protected.
Right.
You thought I was goth, but I'm just a big fan of Johnny Cash. Is really what happened. Yeah.
But then you know he would have to, or he or she would have to establish that that's actually a religion.
Oh.
And I think that would be the first hoop that they would need to jump through. Which, you know, reminds me of a case that I read where somebody was arguing that their religion prohibited them from working more than 20 hours a week. And
I love that religion. Where do I sign up?
I know. Well, the court said that's not a religion.
Yeah, right. Or somebody who insists on wearing fashionable dark sunglasses and they can't see their way around the parking lot, so they need to park near the front door and thus need one of the blue parking spaces.
All right. I don't think that
No, we can't go that far. But the crazy lawsuits will start coming. You know how it is. You're in the law business. You probably get these all the time.
I hear some interesting stories, for sure.
I bet
for
you do. A pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for explaining this. We'll keep an eye on it. Lisa Dolge with Godwin PC in Dallas. She's a labor and employment lawyer at that law firm. Thank you very much, ma'am.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. All right, there we go. See, we learned some heady stuff today, Greg.
Hey, well, hey, I'm going full goth now.
Are you?
So I get a better parking place? Is that what we learned?
I think so. I don't know.
I never get the takeaway right from this show, Phil. I'm sorry.
It's always confusing to me, too.
It confuses me every time.
Yeah. By the way, if you ever get yelled by your boss, yelled at by your boss, the reason is that he's a good person. New study found that bosses who act morally and ethically all day find it draining, so they have trouble controlling their aggression toward their employees.
I think that was written by a boss. That smells bad to me. It smells like poo.
Yeah.
I think that's bull poo right there.
All right, one more. I've got another one for you.
Oh,
here.
Good. Oh, you're full of them today, Phil. Thanks.
Cops in New Jersey got a call from a post office on Tuesday because the mailman was being attacked by wild turkeys, and police actually showed up and scared the turkeys off.
Well, those... You know what? Have you ever had an encounter with a turkey?
No, but a goose almost killed me.
Okay, yeah, they're kind of the same. They are a-holes. They are unpleasant
animals.
And
on that note, our travel guy joins us next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, every show we have a feel-good story, and I have one for you right here.
Because I need that right now, Phil.
Yeah. An 81-year-old woman, her name is Alice Makla. She drove to the Rite Aid up the street from her house you know where this is, Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania?
The Pocono.
30 minutes south of Scranton.
That's where you go for, the romantic getaway, and they have the cheesy motel room with a giant champagne glass that you get in.
Mm-hmm. Gross. Now, she's driving to the Rite Aid, and while she was sitting in her driveway after she got home, two people walked up and started talking to her through her window in her car. Then one of them reached in and stole her purse with $140 inside.
Yikes.
That could be a lot of money for an 81-year-old woman.
And the Poconos apparently going to hell.
And they both jumped in their car and took off. Now, but they chose the wrong 81-year-old woman to mess with. Because instead of just calling the cops, Alice started chasing them. And then she rammed them with her car.
Alice is a badass.
They still ended up getting away, but police spotted their car parked outside a grocery store, and there were marks from Alice's car on it, so they knew it was them. So a 34-year-old, 30-year-old guy, they both face robbery charges, and they're due back in court later this month. But there, way to go, Alice.
Nice job, except now her insurance is still going to go up, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how effed up is that?
She's probably going to lose her driver's license.
Probably right, see?
I don't know. I'm going to T-bone those guys. They steal my purse.
I think this is a new character for Quentin Tarantino to work into something.
I think so. Let's work into our next guest. It's our travel guy, and he's just back from a trip from somewhere. Gary Warner, hello. Where are you back from, sir?
I'm just back from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, I've been there before, but it's been a long time. So,
you retiring or something?
I need to catch up on it.
Yeah, I wish, but. I was down there visiting my mother, but also doing a little bit of scouting for the new baseball season.
Oh, okay. Now, first of all, you dropped out there a little bit. You went to visit your monkey. Is that what you said?
My monkey. I don't know if I'd call her that. My mother.
Oh, sorry, your mother.
Cell phones are great.
Mother-in-law. Yeah, she's a classic snowbird. She comes out for about 3 weeks in Boston.
It's only the third time on this on this episode of the show that we said the words "your mother."
Yes, always a good line. Doesn't matter. You don't need a joke. You just say, your mom.
Yeah. Now, spring training, Gary, is fun, even if you're not a baseball fan. Isn't that right?
Right, because it's a really the Scottsdale, Phoenix, Mesa, Tempe area really comes alive because half of all of the baseball teams have their spring training in Arizona now in a very small geographic area. So it's just filled with people from all over the country.
Oh, good. And so there are a bunch of things to do in that part of Arizona, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not just like baseball to do there. I mean, it's a wonderful time of year because usually the temperatures are in the 70s and 80s. The Desert Botanical Garden is blooming with it shows really that the desert isn't a dead place, that there are all sorts of interesting animals and flowers mm-hmm. and cacti there. And basically the nightlife really starts humming in the bars and in the coffee houses, the restaurants. Plus there's, you know, I love going up to the Frank Lloyd Wright house, his Taliesin West, which is in Scottsdale. And you can do all this without broiling to death.
Yeah.
And if you I mean, I hate golf, but if you're a golfer, isn't it like the glory land for golfing around there?
In fact, I was staying at a golf resort this time called the Orange Tree, and my balcony basically overlooked the first tee, and right around 6 o'clock you'd start hearing that thwack, 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 and the occasional cuss word.
You know, right. Oh, yeah, by all means. Yeah. And as long as the bar car is around, then that's all.
God forbid.
Yeah, the bar is right there. It's right there. There's a bar right there at the first tee, which is also the end of the 18th hole. I mean, it comes back around. So.
All right. So we've been talking about golf, Frank Lloyd Wright, old guy, and nightlife. Is this really an old guy's kind of vacation, or is there a younger set hanging out in the Scottsdale?
There is a younger set that's hanging out there. It's especially in, Scottsdale and Mesa and Tempe. First of all, you have Arizona State University there, which is down in Tempe. There's a lot of folks around of all ages. I mean, Phoenix is a real boom town for people from the Southwest who are coming from there for the jobs. So at night, like in downtown Scottsdale, there's a real bar dancing scene. Or for me, the coffee houses, some of the best coffee in the whole U.S., is right there in the Phoenix area. And you don't have to take my word for it. The New York Times agrees that it's one of the great coffee spots in the world, actually.
Wow.
Because of the water.
Yeah.
The water has a high sulfur level, which is great for making espresso.
Yeah, so take that, Portland. Ha-ha!
Yeah.
Seattle.
All right. So what? Now they're preparing for spring training. The ball players aren't there yet. What can you see?
Well, pitchers and catchers started this week.
Oh, they did.
Yes. So you've got the pitchers and the catchers, and out of tradition, a lot of the players who have been traded, the position players who have been traded to another team, they show up early too. And it's a time when, you know, for like the autograph hounds, or if you just want to take your kids and show them, some of the stars. It's a great time to go because the crowds are smaller. There's no games, but you can wander around like out at Camelback, which is the Dodgers facility they share with the White Sox. And you'll see Sandy Koufax out there and, you know, Tommy Lasorda and, Maury Wills, Manny Mota, players that I grew up with. And you can talk with them and, by the time that the games start, that just doesn't happen.
Sure, and there's like certain bars you could go to where you would find the pitchers and catchers.
There used to be more of that. there was the Pink Pony and a few other places, but they've kind of fallen off. A lot of these guys now rent homes in the areas near their stadiums. Some of them do it year-round because the facilities are open year-round for, like, rehab and things like that.
I keep imagining
party at each other's houses.
I keep imagining in the bleachers they're watching the players, hoping someday there'll be a meal ticket. Like a young Susan Sarandon in the bleachers looking for some sugar. And do you see a lot of that?
Oh yeah. Because it's warm, so you don't have to wear a lot. And these stadiums are very close to each other. especially with the Dodgers. One of the deals they made when they left Vero Beach was that they would keep the Vero Beach experience, which meant that the players basically had to walk through the crowds. There's little ropes. They have to walk through the crowds on the way from the clubhouse to the stadium. And so, you know, you can talk to them and, yeah. you know, for the young ladies, I guess they can lean over or whatever, yeah. you know, or just say hi.
But, don't have to be alone tonight.
You know, I think for the young ladies, it's maybe getting invited to some of those parties might be better, higher chance than see someone like myself, you know.
Yeah, right.
yeah, Bo goes sure. in the front, big guy.
Yeah, you travel with a wife and kids anyway, so.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
Yeah, unless there's a whole weird kinky thing going on, you're off limits.
Yeah, it's probably for the best, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you've got to take me out of circulation so some of you other guys can have a chance.
Of course. Yeah, after you destroyed the marketplace, now it's everybody else's turn. I got
you. Yeah, but, you know, it's one of the things is that one of the ballplayers I talked to a while back said that, you know, they know it's time to break camp in March when they go out and they sit on the aluminum benches and they're getting hot.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's already been in the 80s. When it starts to get into the 90s, mm-hmm. it's time to, you know, go off, you know, and start the regular season. And that's when it starts to get, you know, quite frankly, I'm not a big fan of Phoenix Scottsdale outside of sort of the November to mm-hmm. early March period.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds wonderful. I've got to go back and visit again and check it out. And now it sounds like a great time to do it. And thank you for tipping us off to that exciting
yep.
destination.
Cartel Coffee Company is my favorite coffee place out there.
Ooh.
And downtown Scottsdale, one of the few walking areas in this sprawling metropolis, you know, that mm-hmm. just goes on and on forever.
Yeah, they've got nothing but space out there. Well, Gary, thank you so much for stepping in and telling us all about Scottsdale. Appreciate it.
You take care.
You too.
See you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Glad we found the travel guy. Phil, did you say you lost the travel guy or the travel guy was lost?
It's hard for us. Ever since he took off his GPS ankle bracelet, we've not been able to keep track of his location. And so we wait for him to make contact. And just moments before we brought him on the air, he did indeed make contact and told us where he'd been and what he would be talking about. So we have to wing it with him most of the time. There's no pre-show planning when it comes to Gary, the travel guy. So coming up next on the program, we do have, and this is what we've been waiting for forever, the worst tattoo ever put on somebody against their will while they were passed out drunk by their so-called friends. Next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We thank you for tuning in. We're not done yet. Aww. Gonzo Gregg is here with me. I'm Phil. Thanks for listening. Gons, you like a cocktail now and then, don't you?
We can't be done now. We can't just say that's it.
Well, we're talking about cocktails.
Well, yeah. Well, are you implying that you think that I'm a drunk or something?
No, but perhaps you've enjoyed a cocktail
because
or two.
I am on the cutting edge, the leading edge of cocktail technology.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Out there? What are people drinking these days? With an umbrella in it or a sliced pineapple?
Lots of that. But from the UK, there are reports there's some pub there that has invented something they're calling the Badger.
The Badger.
It's the Badger. Yeah. And it is an odd combination. Do you remember Smirnoff Ice?
Yeah, it was a big joke, right?
Yeah, well, it was like the 90s. It was like Zima wasn't lame enough.
Right.
They came along with Smirnoff Ice, which was kind of a clear, I think it's a malt.
I think you had to be wearing a tank top and have a spray-on tan to drink
something,
Smirnoff
yeah, it's
Ice,
a,
right?
I guess it's a vodka, a sugary vodka-based 90s alka-pop, as
yeah,
they call it.
Right, and parachute pants, I think, were necessary.
Maybe. This pub has made kind of like a black and tan with Smirnoff Ice and Guinness.
Oh.
So apparently, yeah, if you look at it on the bottom, it's all clear and shiny and silvery
yeah,
for the Smirnoff Ice, and then there's Guinness on top.
And this is in the UK they're doing this?
Yeah, there's some pub in the UK started this.
Yeah.
And I guess it's on, of course, it's on their Facebook page or something. So there's all sorts of comments on
I'm
it.
Sure, they say, like, dude, what'd you do with your Guinness?
Well, they're like, you know, the bar is like, don't knock it till you've tried it. It's amazing. And so then the comments all start going on. And somebody says, I love this one. It's blasphemy in heaven at the same time. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Somebody else is, oh, dreadful waste of good Guinness.
Yes.
Ah! Yeah.
Right, right.
Which I think is probably more accurate.
And in England, they serve it warm, don't they? Or room temperature.
I guess they would. I don't know if they serve Guinness ice.
Well,
at
I mean,
that
vodka,
right?
I mean, here at least, people stick their vodka in the freezer.
That's where mine is.
Yeah.
You'll feel rough as a badger's arse after a few of them. Is what another poster says on their website.
People,
and then somebody's trying to make it at home, and they say, somebody tell me, how the F do you get the Smirnoff Ice to stay at the bottom because it keeps mixing with the Guinness? Have you ever tried to make a black and tan?
No, I haven't. There's a trick to it, though.
There is a trick to it, and you they actually have a tool, or you can use a bent spoon, and you pour it over the edge of the spoon so it doesn't plow through down into the bottom of the glass so that you get that separation between the black and tan.
So heroin addicts, then, is what you're saying, might be good at making a black and tan.
Maybe. I don't know. I think if you're a heroin addict, you're probably way beyond just drinking beer.
But the spoon thing, that's what I was going for.
We'll
move along. Okay.
I hear you.
But if you're drinking a bunch of these, regardless, you might get drunk if you have two or three of them.
Sure.
And forever.
I know where you're going with this.
People get drunk, they pass out, and their friends draw funny pictures on their faces with Sharpies.
How I am terrified, because all of my friends, everyone I know, I cannot ever fall asleep at their house because I know I will wake up with a drawing of a penis on my face. I can't fall. Although I have once fallen asleep, and miraculously, I woke up unscathed.
Oh, good for you.
But there are reports this morning. Late breaking news, again from the UK. Beep, 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 beep. This guy named Greg, oddly enough, fell asleep, I guess passed out from drinking. And how would you like to wake up after being passed out and discover that you have a 10-inch wiener?
Wait a minute. They did plastic surgery on the guy?
No, they tattooed on the inside of his left leg a tattoo of a penis.
The actual tattoo. With
the actual tattoo.
And the blood and the ink and the whole thing.
Yeah. He has no recollection of it. He woke up. It's like down to his knee on the inside of his left thigh. He woke up and like, oh, my friends. And they used the Sharpie and they drew. And he's trying to scrub it off. And he's like, ow, ow. And he's like, oh, my God. It's a tattoo. They tattooed, a penis, a phallus.
Well, he can't wear shorts in a public place anymore, can he?
Not for the moment. He's going on to, there's a UK TV show called Tattoo Fixers. So they're going to be, I think he's going to get it covered. I don't think he's going to get it removed. So he's going to get it covered and turned into something else. So he'll have something else odd on the inside of his thigh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I might stick with the original. But.
I might. No, you'd have to really wear some long board shorts or just never wear shorts in public. But he's. I got one line of advice for this guy. Find some new friends, right?
I don't know, but those are the interesting people.
All right,
those are the people you're gonna have. See, that's a great story.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do something, go for the thing that makes the great story. This one time, I got wasted drunk. You know, woke up and I had a 10-inch wiener.
Yeah,
nothing
wrong with that.
You're not gonna get that with the church people.
No, you're not.
No,
at least we hope not.
It depends on your church.
Yeah.
What parish you're in.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there a guy on Christian radio that he might into this category?
Did you hear about this guy?
Yes, I did, but a little bit. Give me the details.
I think it is in Ohio or something like that. Toledo, Ohio. So Mark Howington, who's on the local Christian station. What's the name of the place? It's Proclaim FM 102.3. Spreading the word. So he went to his local Target and got into some trouble because some woman came out of the restroom and he allegedly, according to the cops, slapped her on the ass.
Oh, no.
And she's like, hey. I believe that's actual sound.
Yeah.
Hey. And she called for security who came and checked out Mr. Howington, who they found after the cops came. I guess they found the sharp end of a screwdriver inside of his pocket.
Uh-oh.
And also a small jar of Vaseline in his sock.
In his sock?
In his sock.
That's where most people keep their jar of Vaseline.
The Vaseline. I'm not sure what he was up to. I mean, Phil, you, we both worked in rock radio.
Yeah.
And in rock radio.
Yeah.
And managed, I don't think. Well, I guess it's the venue where you slap somebody on the ass. I think I've slapped chicks on the ass coming out of the bathroom. You just don't do it at Target.
No.
That's the takeaway. Again,
and when you're a Christian radio DJ, you have a certain decorum to uphold.
Sure. He might have just, I think he just was working at the wrong station. Yeah. You know, he probably wanted to get on the rock station.
He's a fish out of water.
He wanted to play Motley Crue, but he had to play, I have no idea what Christian music is, so I don't know what he was actually having.
Not been
to play.
Exposed to it yet, have you?
Yeah.
It's who knows? You might be inspired. Now,
I don't know.
I've got
the lesson here is don't shop at Target. I think that's what I've learned.
A guy in Florida, if you're not at Target, you go to Walgreens, and this guy tried to rob one on Valentine's Day. But a state boxing champion was visiting his girlfriend who worked there and saw the guy trying to rob the place. So he knocked him out. Cold cop.
Oh, wow.
Smack. Only took one.
That's all right.
Six things to do before bed instead of checking your phone.
Six. I have one.
Yeah, I know it's on the list. Number three, have
sex.
Okay. Sex right. Produces feel-good hormone oxytocin and decreases the stress hormone cortisol, which helps
sex,
you relax.
Sex with self, that counts? Does that count?
It might. Yeah.
Okay.
Drink some tea, but avoid the kind with caffeine. Obviously, chamomile is good. Peppermint is good. Listen to music, calming music. Obviously, maybe some Christian music, Greg.
All right, maybe NPR. That'll put you right out.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Take a warm bath or a shower. When you take a steamy bath or a shower, it brings up your body temp, and then it slowly cools down once you get out, and that gives you the perfect body temperature for falling asleep. And then finally, read. Research shows that reading before bed can help improve your sleep. The books I read, though, keep me awake because I keep thinking about things that are happening. Oh, meditate or do some yoga. There's the sixth one. I missed that one. It lowers stress and promotes a calmer mind. So read and then do some yoga.
All right. You fall asleep in your yoga pants,
yeah,
like you do,
right?
Bill. Uh-huh. Yeah,
I've got some of those. Speaking of that, women are the most fashionable when they're 30 and have about $11,000 worth of clothing by then. Men don't get there until they're 36, and they have $12,600 worth of clothing.
I was pretty fashionable then, man. I had a mullet and tight jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
You did.
I wasn't going to admit it. Hey, we love your comments. Go to the website, click contact. We're on Twitter at FAF Show. That's PHAF Show. We're on Facebook as well. Look for Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson. Oh, by the way, Brooke, happy birthday.
Aww.
Our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. Oh, by the way, Ryan, never mind. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Brooke, for Greg, for Mike, and all the friends, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8880 or visit spiritmarine.com.